Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with London-born, New York City-based jazz saxophonist George Winstone. He talked about his new 2022 single called Spiritual, recorded at Shapeshifter Lab in Brooklyn. It's a single off his brand new album that is set for release in the summer of 2022. He was originally born in London and relocated to New York City in March of 2019, bolstered by endorsements from music legends like Chick Corea, Jacob Collier, Ben Maunder, and the great Chris Potter. And the way things changed a year after his arrival in 2020 was quite stark. Life was turned upside down. We discuss this, COVID life, hope, and so much more. Enjoy.
Yeah, man, it's been a long time. It's been a few years since we've been in correspondence. So I hope the pandemic has treated you okay.
Well, and I guess that's where I wanted to start off. I do remember, I think before you sent over music, you did a plug, and we did an interview. But man, what a vastly different place planet Earth is right now.
Yes, completely.
Yeah. So, as a creative creature, you know, the last people that got kind of released to do anything live has been musicians and performers. And I know this has been a really tough time. How did you survive the last couple of years?
So there was, you know, it's really through help from family and friends. Also, teaching was something. It's been, yeah, other than that, which is basically, you know, that's seen me through. It's been a bit of a grind, you know, sitting around doing nothing, you know, not as much as you like. I think, you know, practicing and I've been putting a lot of energy and time into playing the piano and deepening my, you know, connection to harmony and, you know, more study, I would say, is how I've killed the time.
So I guess the silver lining is that you got new material out, Spiritual Live, and things are opening up. How does it feel overall to have new material out with the prospects of doing all of this live? And just, you know, we're on the tail end, hopefully, at the back end of this virus. So how does it feel?
It feels great, and steam is still picking up. And I did also, I've got a record I recorded an album with the guitarist Ben Maunder in January. That's going to be coming out within the next year. So we recorded a duo record, all improvised music, and it's entitled Odysseus. And I'm just in the process of, you know, finding, getting the right label to pick that up and get that out there.
So I guess, you know, with live shows coming back, have you had any live shows recently?
Yeah. So there's been in New York, you know, there's been the owner of, or the previous owner of Smalls Jazz Club, Mitch Borden. He's opened a new venture with his wife, Rie Yamaguchi, and they have a new club. This is the guy who opened Smalls Jazz and Fat Cat and Mesro, and this is club's called Ornithology Jazz Club. So I've done a couple of shows at Ornithology, and I'm going to be booking myself another one coming soon. And it's a great space. It's in Bushwick, and it's got all the kind of creative energy you know. It's this, you know, live musicians, there's jazz every night, you know, and there's creative music happening every night, you know, so some shows there, and there'll be more to come. And I'm going to reach out, hopefully book something at the Jazz Gallery sometime soon.
What are the crowds like? You know, that's a part of what I've been asking, you know, with the appreciation of live music and what the hope is for the crowds, but musicians are seeing the crowds now. What has been the difference now?
Yeah, well, you know, going from doing live stream gigs to these kind of, the crowds are fine now. I think back in September, I did a gig at Matt Garrison's venue, Shapeshifter Lab in Brooklyn. That's actually where I recorded. That's where you're hearing the recording of Spiritual Live, which I put out. That was from Shapeshifter Lab. But back then, you know, there was still a lot of mask requirements in place. You know, back last summer, there was still reduced capacity in venues, and people were still having to mask. And it was, I think that very much definitely hampers the audience's vibe and energy, because suddenly, you know, it's the kind of breathing cathartic process that happens when you see live music is it literally becomes a little bit more muffled when you put a mask on. So I think the audiences seem back to usual now. I've seen smalls packed. I've seen a lot of very packed jazz clubs. Everything seems to be going again.
You came here in March of 2019, and obviously you had no idea that the world was going to grind to a halt a year later. So what has that been like? I mean, you've had to uproot your life from the UK. You come to America with all these hopes, and then in a year later, everything kind of shuts down. How does that story play out for you?
Oh my God! Yeah, I mean, it's really it's like juggling sort of chainsaws. You know, it's enough to just move to a whole new continent, and even though the UK and America are, you know, they're cousins, you know, they're still very culturally very different countries, you know, and this is the kind of thing that you're just the general living experience of, you know, dating and, you know, just the social life that happens in each country is very different. As you know, we're all just trying to live our normal lives, but that's a very different normal here than it is in the UK. So that navigating that, I would say that social aspect of it, the, you know, the more mundane, but which is completely culturally different. And then on top of that, everything being different, you know, it was exhausting, and it's been exhausting. Yeah. I have such a, I would say determination and sense that I'm in the right place, you know, that it kind of has carried me through, I would say.
Let's say you come to Kansas City, you play live. How would you sell your show? What would your show sound like, and how would you convince somebody in Kansas City to come to a show and watch you play?
What I would say is that, you know, if you want to come, it depends kind of what band I'm going to be working with. You know, that's the thing. But with my music, my music's about, a good question. Give me a second. I would say that, you know, when you come to my show, what you're going to see is a real synthesis between of respect to what Black American music is and jazz music and just what jazz musicians have been doing the last 100 years. But also on top of that, when my shows are also, there's a deep appreciation and connection to classical music. And that is something as a performer, I like to showcase is that it's for me, music's about improvising, you know, or that's such an important part of the, of connecting as a musician, you know? So my interest is about, it doesn't matter what my music sounds like, but it's more that combination, you know, it's the fact I'm engaging in the improvisatory process. Now, the tunes I write, the compositions I write, I think are different from your regular modern jazz because of that connection to classical music. You know, I want to be making music. I mean, there's just going to be a lot of energy. There's going to be a lot of virtuosity. You know, that's what I want to see. But also, it's virtuosity and introspection, you know, in a show. And it's that bridge between classical music and jazz. You know, people don't get to hear, I think, a lot of improvising musicians actually really have a handle on both of those languages, musical languages. So I want my audiences to kind of be blown away by that, you know, when they see that.
So you've clearly dedicated your life to jazz. You've moved to America, and, you know, this is your life. Why do you love jazz?
Because it's the music of freedom, and because it's the synthesis of soul and intellect, and you know, and heart, spirit, intellect, body. I think, yeah, it's best, and it should include the feeling of dance as well, but you know, it has all of that in it. There's such a limitlessness for the exploring musician to actually, you know, connect to themselves and actually to make authentic statements, musical statements. You know, I think, you know, that's what jazz can be, you know, and that's why I always feel free and liberated when I play it, you know.
George, man, it's great to catch up with you. I'm glad we're talking now on the tail end of this and things are opening up, and hopefully you get that taste in New York that you came here for, and it just gets better and better.
Oh, man. Yeah, Joe, absolutely. It's a pleasure to chat. Thanks for setting us up.
Thanks for listening and tuning in to another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest players and minds in London, New York City, Kansas City, and spots all over the globe, giving fans all that jazz. Thanks to George for his time, music, and cool. If you want to hear more interviews, go to Famous Interviews with Joe Domino in the iTunes Store. You can visit Neon Jazz at YouTube or go to the home of Neon Jazz. Everything is there. TheNeonJazz.blogspot.com, and for everything Joe Domino related, JoeDomino.com, and there you can kick in a little bit via Patreon or PayPal. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends.
Neon Jazz.